Hey everyone, and happy holidays. Welcome to the Spirit Side in Search of Parahyranchen Phenomenon. I'm your host, Paul James Caden, and please do excuse me if I sound a little nasally, a little raspy. I'm just getting over a cold and an upper respiratory thing that I had all last week. I'm certainly feeling better in time for Christmas, thank goodness. But last week was, not a lot of fun. And because of the the upper respiratory infection and cold, I didn't get any ITC sessions out last week. I just had no voice, no energy, just taking my meds and resting. And thank goodness the worst seems to be behind me now. But I wanted to see if I could rattle this show off kind of quickly. I don't think this is going to be a very long show, but I wanted to tell a spirited Christmas story that I mentioned in my last show that I wanted to tell you guys my Claus encounter, and that is Claus, C-L-A-U-S, as in Santa Claus. And Claus encounters is a phrase that has been coined by, I believe it was invented by author Ralph Betters, who wrote the Xmas Files, or otherwise known as Claus Encounters, where, I think it's a worthwhile book to have on your shelf if you're interested in the paranormal. Especially, paranormal stories around Christmas time, which I happen to love. And he talks about a lot of different kind of paranormal encounters people have had during the holiday season, one of which are the mysterious Claus encounters, where people experience this St. Nicholas or Santa Claus-like apparition, and they really don't have an explanation, as to what it was, where it came from, why it was there. I know in my own story, it's just happened unexpectedly, and there are some people out there in podcast land that will probably not believe it. It is a little fantastic, but I assure you that it did happen. I can stand before God in all honesty and say, I swear, that this actually happened 23 years ago, Christmas Eve night. So this was the year 2000. And, it makes me wonder with these kinds of stories, that the world of spirit, the world of the paranormal, Do such beings exist? I mean, we know that there was a Saint Nicholas, who I believe he lived in Turkey, years ago, and he gave to poor children, and he really is one of the influences in the invention of the myth of Santa Claus or Saint Nick, who comes on Christmas Eve night and, leaves, presents to all the girls and boys. So is there, in the realm of spirit, you hear a lot of religious people talk about the saints and the angels, and a lot of people say they've had encounters with Mother Mary or, an angel or some other saint that came to their aid in a time of need, so do these saints exist? Are they there, and are they continuing their good work in the afterlife? Do they sometimes come to us, appear to us, help us in some way during our time of need? There are stories of these Claus encounters where there were families that were very poor, they couldn't afford anything for Christmas. A husband, a father lost their job. And, someone showed up in the middle of a blizzard, dressed as Santa Claus, and they thought it was a relative. coming to save Christmas. And this Santa Claus would bring a Christmas tree and presents and sometimes all the trimmings for a Christmas dinner, and walk out the door and simply vanish into thin air. No tracks in the snow. It was a blizzard outside, snow on the ground, feet of snow, no evidence that anyone walked across the yard or up onto the porch. I mean, these things do happen, and if you really dig into your paranormal research and ghost stories, you find these things and you wonder what the heck is going on. And then there's always the question, why doesn't it happen for everybody? And I guess that's one of the mysteries that we just have to live with. Does it have something to do with our personal faith? Does it have to do with because maybe there are sometimes children are involved. We don't really know. Why do some people have angelic encounters and some people just don't? I mean, I personally believe and know in my heart that all of us are capable of having these encounters. But what is the X factor, if you will, that causes some people to be able to have these, almost miraculous spiritual manifestations in their lives, and other people do not? And I personally believe that it's something within us, within certain people, that block those things from happening. And I can use even my wife as an example. She's never had any paranormal experiences. She's never seen an angel or a ghost or a saintly apparition. She believes in God. She has her relationship with God. And you certainly see the evidence of God in her life and throughout her life. Prayers answered, things always working out just when she needed them to, relying on God for help. But, nothing that you would call paranormal. So though she's a spiritual person, she believes in God, there's a certain block with her, and I think it comes down to trying to overanalyze, explain, or maybe explain away, or find that rational explanation as to why these things happen. Even though I can tell her a story, or other people can tell a story, and she will say, "I believe that happened to you," but there's just something, and again, I can't exactly explain it as to why there's that block where it's never happened, at least as of yet, to her and other people. So I believe it goes back maybe to the words of Christ, where our faith kind of opens the doorway to the realm of the spirit, the realm of heaven, which we call it, or, pretty much keeps it closed. I mean, there's probably a lot there that we could really delve into, a lot that could use explaining, maybe even a lot that I'm incorrect about. But I think that X factor is something within us that either allows or doesn't allow those paranormal spiritual experiences to happen in our lives. But then again, that's a statement that kind of contradicts itself, because there are people that never believed in that sort of thing. Atheists or even religious people that say, ghosts and apparitions and Claus encounters, that's all just a bunch of nonsense. But yet, somehow, in a moment of need in their lives, it just happens. And then they believe, oh my God, I never thought I would see a ghost or an angel or an apparition or a UFO, but my God, there it was, out of the blue one day. So, again, sometimes I think we just have to, as Paul Nitter says in his book, Without Buddha, I couldn't be a Christian. Sometimes we all talk too much and we just need to be quiet and live with the mystery. There are things we don't know this side of the veil. But, as I always say, all of that being said, let's get into my clause encounter. And again, this happened, I can swear, before God, on the Bible, on my life, my family, anything that's dear to me, I can attest this happened. And it's just one of those things that, to me, it certainly bolsters my faith when I think about it, because it's a reminder to me that there is something or someone out there that cares about our well-being, that loves us, that looks after us. And man, what a beautiful thing if we could just open our hearts and our minds and our souls and just let it be a part of our reality. Let it be a part of our life, our faith, and just stop hating one another and fighting over religion and all this ridiculous stuff that we do. Just let the love happen, and I think we would see a lot more what we call miracles in the world today. So my story is, again, it happened Christmas Eve, the year 2000, and this recording I'm doing is actually December 23rd, 2023. So tomorrow night will be the 23rd anniversary of this clause encounter. And I always kind of hope that maybe at some point it will happen again. I would love to see this again. But these things happen out of the blue. We don't always expect them. So, we just, we're not ready to whip out the camera, grab the camcorder. I didn't even have a cell phone in the year 2000, so I didn't have any kind of device at the ready to record or, turn on a camera. So that would be a moot point anyway. But anyway, it was Christmas Eve, 2000, and I had just really, a little bit of backstory here, really had stepped out of my fundamentalist Christian background at the very end of 1999. I mean, this was probably the December of 1999, so it would actually be like 1 year before the clause encounter. December of 1999, I remember thinking, this is a decision that I have to make because I'm really, really uncomfortable with a lot of things I'm seeing in the churches, in my church, in the whole evangelical and televangelist community. I had a lot of questions. I'd caught these people, at the pulpit, for crying out loud, and so many lies and twistings of facts. And it came down to, and it was scary. Ask anybody who walks away from a religion or a cult, especially if you're told this is the way, and without this, you're going to burn in hell. There's no way to God except what we're telling you. So I had this driven into my head for a number of years. And I'm trying to make this decision that this doesn't appear to be the truth. nor does it appear to be truth at all, that what these people are literally lying, in their books and their messages and their sermons. So December 1999, I'm making this decision. It was probably right at the very end of December. I would venture to say it was right around Christmas time when I came to that point and said, I think I'm gonna, step over out of this particular religious path because it's not serving me anymore. And so I stepped over into the year 2000, just saying, this is hard, this is scary, but I'm gonna step over into the year 2000 and just leave it behind. I'm going in search of, the truth, as best as I can know it in this very flawed world that I live in. So, needless to say, I always refer to the year 2000 as the year of hell. And if you've read my book, An Angel Came Down, I have a chapter entitled The Year of Hell that talks about that particular year because it was incredibly anxiety inspiring, incredibly scary. It was like leaving a cult. It really was wrestling with, am I going to go to hell now? Am I done with God? Am I an outcast from God? Am I making the right decision? I had all these questions, and it led to a lot of anxiety. I had so much anxiety that started in the spring around Easter time, so that was around April of the year 2000, over this, which again is a symptom of leaving a religion that's so or any kind of cult that's so deep-seated in you're so indoctrinated that you go through the anxiety, you go through the fear, the anxiety attacks, the nervousness. And boy, did I. It was, man, it was a spring and a summer of literal hell, the ups and downs. So by the time we hit the fall, the autumn of the year 2000, things calmed down a little bit. I wasn't so beside myself. I'd gotten a handle on all that and navigated through the rough seas of anxiety and fear and just feeling like a fish out of water. Where do I go next? Maybe I should just turn back. It was kind of like, go back to the land of Egypt or wander in the desert, And by the time Christmas time came, the fall I was a little bit calmed down. By the time Christmas time came, I was actually just really pissed off. I'd reached a point 1 year later where I was like, I'm just done with religion. I don't know what it brings next, but I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't want anything to do with angels. I don't want anything to do with any of it. I don't want any of that crap. In my face, I don't want anybody to talk to me about it, which was bizarre because I was Mr. Spiritual all my life, for the most part. And I was just done. And so this is a time of year, Christmas time, that I usually always really enjoy. And that year I didn't because, Christmas is always a very spiritual time of year for me. And of course, spirituality, religion, I don't want any part of that right now. So, I don't give a crap about Christmas. And I told everybody I met that year, including my family members, you know what? I just can't wait for December 26th. I just can't wait for all the damn Christmas trees to come down, all the decorations to go back in the box and up in the attics. And, I just want it over with. I don't want anything to do with it. I'll be glad if somebody gives me a nice present, something I can use. But other than that, I want no part of this. I can't wait for this SH, asterisk T to be over with. It's done. Nothing to do with it. And so I went to bed that Christmas Eve night, giving my mantra, only 2 more days and this crap is over. I'll sort it out for next year. I don't know where I'll land by then, but I want this year over and done. I'm hating life, I'm hating religion, type of thing. And so I went to bed that night, spouting my mantra of can't wait for it to be over. And the thing of it is, on Christmas Eve, yes, I had a tree. I was kind of how relatives are, friends and relatives who love Christmas. When you're not in the mood for Christmas, they're always, oh, come on, it'll be fun, just get into it. Here, we'll put your tree up. There's always somebody who will do the decorating for you if you don't want to do it. And so we had that kind of thing going, or I had that kind of thing going on. And so where I lived at that time, coming out of my bedroom, you walked right into the living room. And I always had the tradition on Christmas Eve, I slept with the Christmas tree plugged in, and the bedroom door open, so the Christmas lights kind of twinkled into the bedroom. And I didn't really give two craps about the tradition that year, but for some reason I just plugged in the tree, plugged in the lights, went to bed. And so long story short, I fall asleep, and I'm one of these people that start out sleeping, with the blankets, and I very quickly kick them off because now I'm too hot. And I did this, and I woke up in the middle of the night. It was probably Christmas Day by then, some hour in the morning after midnight. And I woke up, and I was laying on my left side, like remember, because it's the dominant side that I generally sleep on anyway. So I was laying on my left side. I wake up and I think to myself, man, I'm cold. All the blankets are off me. I'm gonna cover up. And just as I have the thought, I'm cold, I'm gonna cover up, the blankets on the bed just kind of, they kind of flip up and cover me. Now I'm laying there, if you can imagine this being a movie, the blankets, poof, they just cover me. I didn't touch them. And I'm laying there kind of, with an arched eyebrow and wide-eyed, like, what the hell just happened? I didn't cover myself up. There's nobody in this room that's going to cover me up. What the hell was that? So I sit up in bed. And I look directly at the foot of the bed, and there at the foot of the bed was this probably, I would say it was about the size of a bowling ball and a half. At the foot of the bed, this blue sparkling orb just hovering at the foot of the bed. And in the middle of this orb, it was like looking into a crystal ball. Those crystal balls they sell at Halloween. There's the crystal ball with the face in it, whether it's the fortune teller or the skeleton or whatever. So inside this sparkling orb is a face, and it's the face of Saint Nicholas. He has the hat with the like the holly sprig. He has the long white beard, and he's just looking at me, smiling. And the funny thing is, I didn't feel fear. I didn't feel shock. I didn't feel overly surprised. Like, what the hell? I'm just there looking at this glowing, sparkling blue orb with this Saint Nicholas face looking at me right at the foot of the bed. And it's there for maybe 30 seconds, and then it just fades out. And I knew at that moment, I sat there for a few minutes thinking about just what happened, and then I went to sleep. But I knew at that moment that somebody, somebody out there, somebody up there, call it what you will, was telling me in that moment of just anger and anxiety and spiritual and religious crisis, somebody was telling me, don't lose faith. We're here. We're real. We care about you. Now, this close encounter didn't revolutionize my spirituality overnight. Like, I woke up the next morning like Ebenezer Scrooge going, Hallelujah! Faith is restored, and all of that. I mean, absolutely not. But needless to say, I did wake up the next morning and I had a better Christmas than I thought I would. Because I had some kind of experience, some kind of encounter the night before that was meaningful. I knew somebody out there was acknowledging the year of hell that I had gone through. I knew somebody out there was just giving me, again, no pun intended with Saint Nicholas, a nod and a wink to say, it's okay. We're here. And we're not like all of this angry hellfire, brimstone, dishonest religion you've been exposed to. So that was the start of a healing process. It didn't make everything perfect. I mean, it actually took me a few more years, to, get back on the spiritual bandwagon. I mean, this was kind of a slow process, but at least it got me moving in the right direction, and at least it got me, to a point where I didn't completely discard certain values and beliefs that I had previously. So when I say to people, we're not alone, even if we think we are, we're never alone. There's always somebody there with us, or there's always somebody watching over us. There's always somebody that cares about us and that they're guiding us. That's why I say it. Because I've had enough experiences in my life, with my angel encounter, with this particular, what I term here the clause encounter, I just know from experience. We are certainly loved and we are certainly looked after. So that, my friends, is my clause encounter story. And I hope when I tell stories like this from my personal experience, which I was always in the past very hesitant to talk about because there's always, people that are gonna mock or they're gonna think you're crazy or oh, that was a, my favorite one today, all the intellectuals, it was a hallucination, and even I even had one, supposed great intellectual tell me that, one time when I was telling them a story of something I encountered with other people around me, several other people, that what I had encountered was a hallucination, and that they believe that even the family members and friends and people around me that witnessed it with me were a part of the hallucination. So, religious people can really go to some ridiculous lengths to prove their beliefs, but in the same regard, I think people that don't believe will go to some very ridiculous lengths to prove what they don't believe. But I hope when I tell, these stories and share them for those of you that listen, and perhaps, have an inkling that, I'm an honest person just trying to make what little difference I can in a crazy, mixed up world that's really seem to abandon the light in every way possible. I hope these stories will, speak to you and give you hope and give you faith and give you courage to go onward and to know that there's more than meets the eye when it comes to this thing called life. The old, nuts and bolts material world and all of its problems and all of its trials and tribulations and all the hell that it sometimes puts us through, doesn't have the last word, and it won't have the last word. And I hope that, the shows that I do, the stories that I tell, the ITC research, all of it, helps people to realize, wow, there's a whole lot more, to reality than what we're taught in our feeble little, societal constructs that, we're kind of pigeonholed into, and we live like, worker ants, in this system created by men. And when things go bad in that system, well, it really affects us. But that's really what enlightenment is. That's really what, being filled with the spirit is being filled, enlightened, where you rise above that and you realize that stuff really has no meaning, no ultimate power, in your life and in your spiritual and eternal destination, wherever and whatever that might be, because that's a lot of mystery too. But we know it's going to be wonderful. This much we know, it's going to be so much more than, as the Bible says, eye has not seen, what is it? Eye has not seen, nor has it entered the mind of man what God has prepared for them. That believe. So it's going to be beyond anything we could even ask or imagine or think. And I hope this podcast and sharing experiences like this gives you hope and faith and strength to carry on when things are not as easy or not as good as you would like them to be. And I hope this is something that you'll take into the new year ahead and just integrate into your life. And I plan on putting this show out on Christmas Eve, and I if you're going through a hard time, just be open in your heart. I'm open to God. I'm open to the angels. I'm open to the spirit world to just give me that nod, that wink, that smile, that acknowledgement that I'm not alone, because you never know what will happen when we do have that childlike faith. So for everyone who listened to this show, God bless you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And I'm hoping to do a Christmas Eve night ITC session, and that will probably be out after Christmas, but hoping to do that tomorrow night, and see what comes through, and hopefully some eye-opening and hope-inspiring messages from the world of spirit. So God bless everyone. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed my spirited Christmas story of my clause encounter. I'll talk to you next time.